flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Zucker brings it out of the corner, works it up top for a shot. Scores! Shot comes in from the point. And Elvis couldn't get it, and it's Alex Tuck first down the line. It's 3-1 Buffalo.
That was your game winner, Alex Tuck, late in the second period, redirecting a Rasmus Dahlin shot, and his second of the night gives Buffalo the win. The goal of the game brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. So we welcome you back here to the press box. Brian Colziel, Pat Malacaro is here with me as well. Paul Hamilton is awaiting outside the Sabres dressing room. We'll get player reaction here coming up in just a few moments as Buffalo gets one goal in the first from Bo Byram, 2 in the second from Alex Tuck, and they hold on with James Reimer playing strong in the third period. And the fourth time, the fourth game in a row, the Sabres win. Pat, we haven't been able to say that in 2 seasons.
Yeah, and they happen here at Key Bank Center as well. So this Sabres team.
That's right, a 4-game homestand sweep.
Yeah, something, one of those things we talked about, they had really struggled with winning games on home ice. Now, it comes on the heels of, you know, that 13-game losing streak that has put them so far out of it. But you win 4 in a row here. You've got a chance against a Nashville team that you just beat less than a week ago coming up on Saturday. Now you can say that they've maybe, it might be a little too late in the end, but they're putting something together here that can really build as you go to the second half of this month.
The game that's next is Saturday at Nashville, a team they just beat. Nashville's not anything to write home about. Opportunity to win 5 in a row is there. Maybe the worst timing ever for maybe a break. If the Sabres win Saturday, they win 5 in a row, you'd want to keep playing at that point.
You're right. And in this 4-game winning streak, the Sabres have now scored 18 total goals. They started out with a 7-2 thrashing of Boston and just kind of kept rolling from there. A couple of 4-goal wins as well. So they're scoring goals again, too. And tonight, they got some timely saves from James Reimer, who maybe, you know, this morning, waking up, coming to the arena, didn't expect to get the start, but goes in net and does a really nice job.
Yeah, I remember, you know, when Paul and I were talking about Reimer earlier in the broadcast, too, he's really statistically only had one bad game. Finding somebody that could come in and play when you barely play, and maybe even, like you said, tonight coming in with almost barely, you know, any notice at all, he seems to be filling that role really well. The players in the locker room seem to like him. He obviously has a veteran presence. He's been around the league. So maybe he's the right fit right now while Devin Levi does his thing down in the AHL. Oh, by the way, he's, you know, at the All-Star weekend or the All-Star week right now.
Yeah, and yeah. A couple of times we've seen Levi has come up from the minors as a reward for how well he's played. And that's one of those things. It's not a slight to James Reimer at how he's played. It's just the way the Sabres decided that, you know, Levi he played so well, give him an opportunity against Toronto, against a team like Seattle. But I think James Reimer, you're right. He, as a veteran, he knows his role, how to be prepared for that role, something that not every veteran goaltender can do. It's one thing the Sabres have really had a lot of. You think of Eric Comrie when he's been mm-hmm. here, Craig Anderson before that as well, when you had that trio of goaltenders. A nice job of having that complimentary goaltender that knows they can come in. If they only play once or twice in a 6 or 7 game span or an 8 game span, they're fine with that, and they know how to get ready for when they get those opportunities.
Columbus was without their top three scorers, including Zach Werenski, but Buffalo was out their best player. Tage Thompson was out, and their number one goaltender, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, was out too. So I would kind of call it a wash in that sense. So, you know, whoever ends up winning tonight, you'd probably say, hey, good job, you won without your best players.
Right, and I also look at it as, yes, you're missing your best players, but somebody's going to step up.
Right.
So you've got players that can step into situations here, and you know, for the Sabres.
It was Tuck.
Right.
3 points, yeah. 2 goals, and an assist.
And Bowen Byram gets the mm-hmm. offense going for the team after Zucker takes a shot. Byram's in the right spot. He converts and then helps create that second goal as well. So the Sabres getting contributions from the players they needed to, and other players that kind of help fill out the roles.
3-2 Buffalo, as they have now won 4 in a row at Nashville on Saturday before the league-wide 2-week break for the Four Nations Tournament. We'll read some tweets later on in the postgame. If you want to send in your thoughts on this win, you can do so at Brian WGR, as we'll get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. If you're listening in your car on your way home, we appreciate it. Your drive home from KeyBank Center, brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet. Kick off 2025 with a new Chevy from Paddock. Down to the room. Alex Tuck is live.
Well, Alex, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm sure it feels good to finally get that fourth win in a row.
Yeah, no, it was. I thought it was a really hard team effort. Obviously, there's been a lot of discussions going around the league, and especially about us. And to have a guy like Dennis Gilbert, hometown kid, who loves putting on that jersey every single night, going toe to toe at center ice with one of the toughest guys, if not, he's definitely one of the toughest guys in the league. Just shows how much heart I think we have in this room, and I think he's a big reason why we won that game tonight. And he's a hell of a teammate and a hell of a person, so I wanted to give him a shout out before we ask him more questions.
I was going to say, there's never a doubt about Dennis Gilbert as far as having people's backs or anything like that, is there?
No, but he's just, it was a message that he wanted to send, that what happened last game is not going to happen again. Doesn't even matter, but you know what, he was, yeah, he's a team first guy, and he'll do anything for the guys, and everyone in here knows it. And so to be able to do that, I mean, it's tough, it's not easy, and a lot of respect, and it was an unbelievable job.
Let's talk about something else he did. You're the assist on your goal. He got his head up, and he saw you coming across. That was a nice play by him.
Honestly, we thought we were going to connect early in the shift. He tried to, and it hit off a defender's skate. But, yeah, he was head up, made a really good play. I thought he was playing really well all night, moving his feet, getting pucks out. Had a couple of huge blocks, too, for us down the stretch, and especially in the third period. And then making that pass on my goal was a phenomenal pass.
What did you think about Reimer's performance, especially under the circumstances?
Calm, cool, collected. It's James Reimer to a T right there. So it was awesome. When they were putting pressure on at times, I thought he was really good. He was seeing the play really well. I thought we did a good job trying to keep guys out of his line of sight and everything, but I thought he was phenomenal tonight.
You guys can talk about calm and cool. I mean, panic had been the word around this team so much this year. How about the way you're finishing games now? Guys are not panicking at the end of games. You're showing your poise at the end of these games.
Yeah, I think it's just a commitment to details, too. It's being sure of ourselves. I think early in the year, we weren't sure of ourselves. We were second-guessing plays and not sure. And then once teams start getting a few come-from-behind wins on you, that's when the doubt starts creeping in your mind. Being able to do this a couple nights in a row here, I think, is really big for our team here.
And their goal, it looked like you were with your man. I think it went in off the skate, didn't it? I mean, just got a bad break.
It was about a foot up in the air. I thought I had him. I mean, it was a good play by them. Maybe a little bit of a lucky bounce. But, yeah, I mean, that's you got to deal with that. You got to deal with adversity. They're a really good team. They've been playing really well. So, you know, they're probably going to maybe get another one there. And they were taking it to us there parts in the third period. But, yeah, I call it a tough bounce. But, I mean, I probably could have done a little bit better job. But I'm not focused on that. I'm just glad we won't got the win.
Thanks, Al. Alex Tuck on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Alex Tuck, two goals and an assist, his 17th and 18th goals of the season. First star honors in Buffalo's 3-2 win, four in a row for the Sabres. They'll try to make it five in a row Saturday, 8 o'clock in Nashville against the Predators as this game tonight goes via the way of Buffalo. Pat, despite only getting one shot in the third, it didn't seem like it was some of these other third periods we watched where we were sitting there the whole time saying, oh, my gosh, this team is in trouble. I think they did look relaxed, even though for a while there was just a one-goal game.
Yeah, and even with Columbus having the goaltender pulled and they had the puck in the Sabres zone, they didn't panic.
Yeah.
They a couple of times tried to clear, couldn't, and you know, you'd like to get the puck out of the zone. A couple of opportunities to hit the open net from your own side of center ice, don't, but you get the lid to see another faceoff. They never panicked. I think that's something definitely that we have seen recently.
Down to the room. Here's James Reimer live.
James, first, when did you find out you were going to be in goal? Because it looked to me like Luukkonen did leave a little bit early in the morning skate. Is that when you found out, or when did you find out?
Yeah, I found out this morning. I mean, obviously there's a lot of communication, and so I wasn't surprised. You know what I mean? Like I knew that it could be a possibility, so I was ready.
I was going to say, there's not much they can throw at you that you haven't gone through in your career, is there?
unfortunately or fortunately, I've seen a few things in my life. So, no, I mean, obviously it's, you know, you just prepare, you know, like you're going to play. And when you get the nod, you just continue on with your preparation for the day and do what you can to help the boys.
You haven't been a part of most of it, but this is the first time the team has won four in a row in 2 years. What do you think went into that game to help you guys get over, maybe even the last four, to help you guys get over the hump and be able to start putting some wins together?
Yeah, I mean, from last game to this game, I don't think there was much difference. I think, you know, one thing that I feel we've been doing a really good job of late consistently is just some of the intangibles, you know. Obviously, we've got a skilled team and we have guys that care. And we've, you know, as a group, we're growing and growing in that character and learning how to win games. And I think it's the intangibles. And so I thought, you know, again today, you know, you look at like the last, you know, minute or two when they had the goalie pulled, the amount of times the guys were blocking shots, I mean, kind of throughout the whole third. You know, even Gibby, I think he had two in that one shift. It's just guys laying down, you know, putting their body on the line and doing whatever it takes. So, you know, I think that's a big reason for our success of late. Yeah, it's great. I mean, you know, I think that's the part, you know, of the game that I think you're going to miss the most when you're done playing is the team aspect of it. Everyone coming together and doing what it takes. I mean, when you see guys, you know, sacrificing their bodies and getting, you know, getting hurt, getting bruises and taking hits and making plays. I mean, it just, it gets you fired up, gets you going. And so it's just a fun to be part of, you know, that kind of environment.
After what happened Sunday, the meeting yesterday, what did you just think of the way the team responded here in the last day or so?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I love the guys in here. Great group of guys, and we're growing. You know, I think that's the part that I look at. You know, it doesn't matter where you've been, it's where you're going. And I thought, you know, with adversity, you know, it's an opportunity to grow and chance to grow in character and perseverance. And I thought we did that. I mean, life isn't smooth, you know, and so it's about taking that next step. And I was really proud of the guys today.
James Reimer in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, James Reimer, who in the third period faced nine Columbus shots. Buffalo only had one in the third period, Pat. And I thought, oh, hold on. Tomorrow on Reimer in a moment. Dennis Gilbert is now live with Paul.
Thanks, Brian. Dennis, Alex Tuch just called you the ultimate teammate. He said, you know, you wanted to make a statement right off the bat. You did that, you know, it seems like you, anytime you need to be there for a teammate or for this team, you are.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a bit of a tough year so far, and we're starting to find our way a bit. And you can question a lot of things when stuff like that's going on, when you're having a lot of adversity. One thing that I've never questioned was the care everybody in this room has for each other. And I've been other places. It's not the case. So, you know, definitely on the ice, there's things we've needed to work on, and I think we're, you know, turning the corner a bit here. But that's the hardest thing to find, and we have that right now. So, yeah.
Did you decide this was going to happen yesterday, this morning? I mean, how did this go down?
Just off the cuff. Yeah.
Did you know they were going to put him in the lineup, or was that when you found out, or when did you find out that you were going to do this and start?
Just had a feeling. Yeah.
Dennis, talk about a play you made in this game, the one to Tuck. It seemed like you got your head up, saw him coming across. Was it a play you actually had tried once before, like right before that too?
Yeah, I saw Tucky coming through, and you know, you got a bunch of guys that are real good at tipping pucks. He's definitely one of them. Super long. So yeah, when I pump faked, the guy kind of froze. If he came at me, I was just gonna try to release it so we didn't, you know, have any trouble, but had some time and just waiting for the big fella to swing through the middle and got lucky.
What's allowed you guys to start grinding out games consistently?
I think that like when you have quote unquote like trauma of blowing leads and losing games, like it affects you, and that's okay. It's human. But our group's been really good about being way more vocal in those situations and encouraging each other and finding small victories, like something as simple as blocking a shot and chipping the puck out, and the other winger grabs it and throws it in deep. Like, we're celebrating those types of things when guys do that stuff. So it's making it more easy for us now and coming a little bit more natural.
How nice is it for you guys when, you know, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen finds out this morning that he's just not going to be able to go, and you got a guy like James Reimer who's been through everything? You know it's not going to shake him.
Well, Luukko's not that good, so it's not a huge deal for us. No, but, I mean, Reimer, he's unreal, man. He's been grinding so hard for us. He's had an unreal career. He works his back off every day in practice. Like, every time he's gone in the net for us, he's given us more than a chance to win. Did it again tonight. So as a guy who watches him work hard and extra stuff in the mornings and on practice days, like, so happy for him.
There was nothing said, I assume, before the puck was dropped. He just looked at you and you looked at him, right?
Yeah, I don't really remember.
What's your reaction to the fact that, I mean, for the last 24 hours, you guys have been savaged across the league, across the country, on television, media, everywhere? I mean, what was your reaction to that?
I didn't really know that. So, like I said, like, we're a tight group in here, and as a team, I think we wanted to show that and respond to that. And there was a couple even scrums throughout the game tonight where I liked that we had everybody in there. And it's never been a question to us in this room that we care about each other. So, yeah.
Does it almost feel like karma? You get in a fight 3 seconds into the game and then you get an assist later on. It's like, oh, you're getting rewarded for dropping the glove.
Yeah, I guess so. More just like happenstance, I guess.
Thank you very much. Dennis Gilbert at postgame. Brian, back to you.
Gilbert with the real nice assist, setting up Alex Tuck for Buffalo's second goal. And the Sabres win it by a score of 3-2 for their fourth straight win for the first time this season. They'll look to make it 5 in a row against Nashville on Saturday at 8 o'clock. We'll have the pregame show coming up at 7. All right, at this time, we're going to say goodbye to all of our local affiliates. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com, or you can listen in on the Odyssey app. And for all of you on WGR, we'll have more postgame coming up, including Lindy Ruff and his live postgame comments. That's next. Paul Hamilton's take. We'll get you highlights. We'll update you on the standings as the Sabres get 2 more points tonight with their 3-2 win over Columbus. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Jackets volley right back. Here's Danforth. He's got a man. Aston Reese inside. 2 saves by Reimer. And it's cleared outside the zone.
Couple of big third period saves for James Reimer as Columbus put 9 shots on him in the third. He made 8 saves in the night, 28 in total. And those are your saves of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Back here in the press box on the post game, Sabres 3, Columbus 2. 4 straight wins for Buffalo. We'll be hearing from Lindy Ruff here at any moment when he steps into the media room. We will take you there live. We'll also get Paul Hamilton's take. Some more highlights coming up. Pat's scoreboard as well. We'll see how the Sabres do in the standings here with a couple of more points tonight. Still got a lot of work to do, but they are at least are creeping closer to the next teams that are second last and third last in the Eastern Conference. Our final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. I mentioned the shots in the third were 9-1 Columbus, 30-21 in the game in favor of the Blue Jackets. It is James Reimer who gets the win. He made 28 saves on 30 shots, and now they've actually just updated it 29 shots. So one less save for Reimer. He now has 27 saves in this game. Elvis Merzlikins, the loss. 3 goals allowed on 21 shots. 3 stars. Zucker is star 3. It is Byram with star 2 and Alex Tuck. 2 goals and an assist. Star number 1. Power play is not much of a factor tonight. Both teams, 0 of 1. They each just had 1 try each, both in the second period. Your power play, DynaBray.com, power play update powered by DynaBray Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo.
I know that, generally speaking, the officials put the whistles away as the game goes on. But really, I think that's a good indication of tonight. The Sabres did enough. They made the plays they needed to. But really, when you look back at this game, there wasn't like this end-to-end chance for chance. I'm not taking anything away from the goaltenders, the defense in front of them, but this wasn't one of those games like maybe a couple of games ago where you're saying there were so many quality chances at the net.
Yeah.
And credit the Sabres, they didn't need to do as much, and they, not as if they played prevent defense in the third period, but they didn't allow Columbus a lot of great chances and didn't need to take many chances at the other end.
Yeah, the only time I thought maybe once or twice Columbus had a real good look to tie it was when they had the goalie pulled with about a minute to go. But again, there weren't Sabres scrambling all over the place. I think there was just a couple of, you know, nice puck movement situations by the Blue Jackets. But those shots a lot of times didn't even get through. And that's kind of what James Reimer said, too. Guys put their body on the line blocking shots. We've been seeing that over and over tonight. You wonder, did Dennis Gilbert earn some more ice time tonight, Pat? Not only does he come out with the fight right away, but he ends up getting 2 block shots in the game and that real nice assist to set up Alex Tuck for the goal.
Yeah, and hearing from Tuck first post-game tonight, you really heard, you know, the praise for Gilbert as the teammate, what he did off the opening faceoff, but also his abilities to create some offense for the team as well. So when you look at, you know, we talked about it in the opening segment as well, guys that did maybe outside of their normal roles, and Dennis Gilbert is, I think, example number one of a guy that really did everything for the team tonight and really showed.
2 block shots, 1 hit, 8:41 of ice time for him in this one. Zucker ends up with 2 assists, Tuck 3 points, 2-1 for 3 total, and Tuck leading the way with 5 shots.
Look,
in the game.
We're not privy to what the conversation between the team was yesterday, but look, there's some pride on the line.
Yeah.
When happens Sunday happens, and even I think Alex Tuck even referenced that, you know, some of the outside talk about the way it was handled and how this team is something that really resonates.
3-2 Buffalo. Let's go down and hear Lindy Ruff. Here he is live.
Yeah, I mean, taking it one game at a time, but we were knocking on the door a couple times this year, and it was good. I thought it was just a good all-round effort tonight.
What did you think about your forwards, the way that they really helped you hold on for that win with back out, you only down to 10 guys up front?
Well, I mean, it's usually what happens when you dress 11 forwards, you lose somebody. So, you know, we did a little mixing and matching, and, you know, I just thought, like I said, it was just a solid effort. I thought we got the lead, we played the game the right way. We left some big plays out there in the second period on odd-numbered rushes. A little bit of finish, but third period, I thought we made a lot of good decisions. A tough break on the going off the toe cap, but I thought, you know, we didn't get rattled. We put together, you know, a strong last minutes there.
Did you decide yesterday as a group that Dennis was going to go, or how did that go down?
Dennis started tonight because when I looked at their lineup sheet that came in, they started their toughest line, and you know, I didn't know what they had in mind. I mean, maybe they watched the film and said, well, let's go after him right off the bat, or Olivier is going to run somebody, and he's a tough character. So just put a lineup out there. That had nothing to do with yesterday. That just had to do with what they started.
What did the fight do for the team, though?
Fight was, I mean, I'd rather have a fight that means something. I mean, really, I mean, it was great on Gibby. I don't know if they had something in mind, you know, their squad. I have no idea. By the way, I wasn't going to take a chance.
Andy, when did you find out about Luke and him? Was it during
this morning? Morning skate. He left there just a little bit early. I don't know if you guys don't expect anything too long, like really day to day. I'm hopeful.
It'd be nice to have a guy like Reimer who's seen everything. You know, he's not going to get rattled no matter what you throw at him.
Yeah. You know, he's played good hockey for us. Good win. You know, I thought he gave us some really good saves tonight. I thought the 1-2-1 save early on was a key save at a key time. So, a veteran guy that I thought their dump-ins, he did a great job handling the puck. You know, we exited the zone fairly quickly, which was a big deal.
How about the shot pass that Dennis used to create the goal for Tuck? I mean,
yeah, you guys wanted to talk about him being out the beginning, but we were going to get around to his offense now. Great play. I mean, really. Well, we talked a little bit about, you know, making sure we're getting shots through and getting people in position. And you look at that goal, you know, him finding our guy in the middle of the ice. The low to high where Dahls gets the shot through, and there's all kinds of traffic there on that one there. But, you know, I thought he played well. He gave us a little bit of offense. It was a great night for him.
Did you have any thought Sunday of putting him out there in the third? I mean, do you regret that, the way things went down?
I'm not going to discuss what I thought.
Did you think that...
I did have a master plan, though.
When he maybe talked else? He had two very key block shots for you down the stretch, too, didn't he? But when you put him out there, Dennis?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think, again, the desperation in the shot lanes, we did a lot of good things. We did a lot of good things in the game. I mean, they were shorthanded with players. We were a little bit more shorthanded. I felt with, again, losing another player. It was a game that, you know, with a two-goal lead, if you just play smart hockey, which we've had a little bit of problems with managing the puck, and I thought we played smart, which was really important.
Gotten away from the panic at end of games. We saw it again today. I mean, how important in your mind is that for these guys to kind of snap that?
Yeah, I think we've gone by the hardship we had. Our aggression is good. You know, a little bit of bad luck. I mean, JJ had an empty net that you want your top guy to hit. Was the right play. Great execution on the face-off to Zucks. And Zucks just said, I can't believe my backhand got that far, because at that time we'd probably kill the rest of the clock if it just trickles down there.
Because an update on back.
Yeah, I'll just tell you, he had back spasms and couldn't move.
You talked a lot about what Dennis means to the guys in the room. How much do you think a night like tonight kind of adds to that?
Let's go back to the Ottawa game in our building. Let's go back to the Ottawa game in their building. Means a lot. And, you know, for a guy that may not play every night, when he does play, it does mean a lot. You know, earlier in the year, the combination of him with Greenway, you know, it gave us a pretty physical element on the back end and a guy up on the front end. And you look at Ottawa's guy early in the first period in the game here at home. You look at Tkachuk in Ottawa. You got to give Danny a lot of credit, because he kind of quieted things down in both games.
What did you think about Tuck's performance tonight?
He really led with his play.
Yeah, I thought one of his best games. On the puck, skated, competed hard. I thought he gave us a great effort. You know, kind of double shifted him here and there. I mean, I think McLeod played 8 minutes in the first period. He played, I think Tucky was up around 14 after two periods. I didn't look at the final, but I thought it was a game that you noticed him almost every shift, whether it was defensively, offensively, real solid game. Thanks.
All right, there is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff finishing up there talking about Alex Tuch playing one of his best games tonight. Got double shifted quite a bit. He said it was a game that you noticed him almost every shift. Some high praise there for Gilbert in the course of this game here. And, you know, still a little leaving out some of the details on whether or not the start of the game was on purpose or not. But nevertheless, we'll see now going forward if that has any lingering effects. But also, you heard there, Luukkonen day-to-day. He said didn't expect him to be out long. So we'll see. Saturday, they got 3 days off before they play Saturday against Nashville.
And Beck Malenstein, who left the game early,
yes.
Lindy Ruff updated that he's dealing with back spasms, something that, you know, Rasmus Dahlin dealt with for a little while as well.
Yeah, so more there on our injury report, and it's brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus. 3-2 Buffalo. We'll take another timeout here from KeyBank Center on the postgame. Paul Hamilton's take. Pat's scoreboard will update you on the standings. We'll read some tweets. Send them in at Brian WGR. 4 wins in a row for Buffalo for the first time this year. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
They're set to go.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Razor's down.
Get ready,
the
Dan.
Benches.
Get ready here.
You're going to get called in.
Get ready. Here we go.
Here we go. Starting lineup is out, and they're dropping the gloves right off the bat. Gilbert.
And Olivier.
Sabres and Matthew Olivier. And you had a sense when you looked at the starting lineup tonight. Olivier with some right hands, short jabs. Just shy of center ice. Olivier coming over top so far, and Gilbert just trying to keep his distance for now. And now they start to trade, and down they go.
Well, Dan, these two guys were talking as soon as they got on the ice, and you could just see that they knew it was going to happen. And both agreed to do it. Both got involved early. Both did a very good job.
That was the first 3 seconds of the hockey game tonight. Gilbert, Olivier going at it. They both go to the box for fighting. You just heard from Dennis Gilbert here on the post game. We'll get Paul Hamilton's take. We've got Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray there on the call. Buffalo winning 3-2 over Columbus for their fourth straight victory. Let's go down now to the media room and bring in Paul. Paul, before we talk about winning 4 in a row and why it happened, how about the fight right away? How meaningful was it to you in terms of how the Sabres come off of their previous game and the hit on Tage Thompson?
Well, you heard Alex Tuch talk about it, what it meant to the team that he did that. And, you know, Tuch was very sincere about that, that, you know, he was, you know, making a statement that, you know, the Blue Jackets weren't going to come in here and you know, walk all over the Sabres. And something, you know, Lindy Ruff brought up some other times this year where he's done that against the Ottawa Senators, taking on Tkachuk twice. You know, and the one here in Buffalo, he basically pounded him. And Tkachuk is somebody who has taken liberties with the Sabres for a while now And, you know, he put a stop to that. So, that, you know, he's a guy that you know is going to be there for his team whenever they need him. And I told you, had he been on the ice when Thompson got hit, that whole situation would have gone a lot differently.
Yep. Well, Gilbert got a chance to have other shifts beyond the fight, Paul, and he had a real big impact on Buffalo's second goal.
Yeah, he did. That was a pretty savvy play he made there. You know, it was a set play where, you know, he got his head up. Tuck is very good. He's probably the best the Sabres have at hitting creases and getting, you know, getting self open and opening up lanes where they can get the puck to him. And Gilbert did a really nice job of, you know, waiting for Tuck to hit that, get it to him where he can tip the puck, and he tips it into the net. So it's a good savvy play. And then, you know, later on, you know, when we're talking about the end of the game, I mean, we're also talking about some key blocked shots by Dennis Gilbert, who, you know, you need that. If you're going to hold on to win, you need things like that. You need desperation at the end of a hockey game, and they got that from him. And that's why I think they've done better in the last seven games, because you can see that. You can see them doing things, and you can see them not panicking. You know, Dahlin, as I look, had two big block shots right down the stretch. They're both on Johnson. As I said, I know Gilbert did too. I'm looking to see exactly when they were, but I know, you know, he got in for some block shots too. So Tuck had a couple of block shots on Fantilli and Provorov. And even the goal Provorov scored, I thought Tuck had very good coverage. I see another block shot down the stretch by Dahlin. That's three. I don't see the ones by Gilbert, and I'm wondering if Dahlin might have got credit. You know, Byram's got one. I know Gilbert did down the stretch. But still, it doesn't really matter who gets credit for it. It just matters that people are doing it.
Paul, how about a thought on James Reimer's impact on the game tonight? He found out after the morning skate that he was going in. He said, look, I always prepare the same way, so not that big of a deal. I know you've mentioned, like, you know, he's obviously been around a lot of different situations with a lot of different teams here, but he was very steady for this team tonight, a big part of the win.
Yeah, you're not going to shake Reimer. Reimer's seen it all. He has many times in his career found out during the morning skate, uh-oh, something's happened, I'm going to be in. He has no problem with that. He has no problem with getting himself ready for that. So James Reimer is not somebody that I worry about being prepared, you know, having something surprise him. It's not going to surprise him. He knows that if he finds out when they get off the ice at the morning skate that something's going on and he's going to have to play goal, he's fine. You know, he's not going to panic about it. He knows how to have himself prepared by 7 o'clock when there's puck drop. If he finds out in the morning and it's a 1 o'clock game, he's fine. He knows how to get himself prepared and ready to go. So, you know, it's good when you have a veteran like him that you don't have to worry about things like that.
Paul Hamilton down in the media room as we talk about the Sabres' fourth straight win. Paul, how about just the final minutes of this game? Columbus has the goaltender pulled. We've seen chaos, circus-like effort in the defensive end at earlier in the season here. They have put together a much better stretch of these situations, hey, where the other team is trying to tie it at the end of a game, and they're handling it a little bit better, and I think another one tonight.
Yeah, they are. There are a couple times where I thought, you had to get that puck out, you know, and then Columbus keeps it in, but they recover. Before, they wouldn't get it out, and they wouldn't recover. It's in their net. And all of a sudden, you're going to overtime, or that's the game winner, or, you know, something like that. But there was probably three of those where I thought, you got to get that out. You know, you didn't get that out. But nobody quit. You know, they kept playing. They kept, all right, we didn't get it out that time. Let's go get the puck back again. Let's not give up. Let's be aggressive against Columbus. Just get the puck and play keep away or anything like that. So, you know, those are the things that are different right now when we're talking about, you know, what we've seen. And I'll go back seven games now, starting with the Vancouver game. I would say they have played very well now for seven games, and they've won five of them and have their first four-game winning streak, as you mentioned, since January 26th of 2023. So it's been a long time coming. They finally have it. Have they gotten too far behind in the standings? Probably, but right now, you're got to figure out how to play the game that Lindy Ruff wants you to play on a consistent basis. And more times than not in the last seven they have, and the two losses, I keep bringing it up, but they had 151 shot attempts. That should be enough to win both games. Otherwise, you probably have a seven-game winning streak because they were right there in those games in the third period. They're tied or behind by a goal and could have won those games easily too. They played well enough to win, but they didn't get the win because they didn't convert on their chances. And, you know, Lindy Ruff lamented a little bit that they didn't convert on some golden opportunities in the second period, but they still figured out how to win. They only had one shot in the third period, but I'm going to say – I never really felt they were in trouble. As I said, I thought Tuck was good coverage on that. He came right with the defenseman, Provorov, and it's a bad bounce. Went in off a skate, I believe. But he had him covered. He didn't let him go. And, you know, Lindy Ruff talked about this being Tuck's best game. I wouldn't argue with that in the least. You know, he just seemed to be around the puck. He seemed to be where he needed to be both offensively and defensively, and you know, was rewarded with a couple of goals and an assist.
Okay, Paul, so four in a row. They'll look to make it five in a row, and maybe one of the few teams that don't want to have a break. If Buffalo wins Saturday, it'll be five in a row, and then they have to wait for 2 weeks to play again.
Yeah, and if they get it, that four-game winning streak that we talked about was actually a five-game winning streak. It was the last time they had a four-game winning streak and the last time they had a five. So that was a five-game winning streak, so they would still tie that streak at the same date that it ended on January 26th. So I'm sure they will want to do that. They had just finished beating the Nashville Predators, a game where they got the 2-0 lead. They let the Predators tie it up, but they didn't panic. And they got the goal very late in the game by Kulik off a 3-on-2 rush, a very nice rush that won them the hockey game. So let's see how they do now when they play them in Nashville.
Thank you, Paul, for all your work tonight. Appreciate it. We will talk Saturday on the pregame with the Sabres in Nashville.
Okay.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton with us down in the media room as we bring it back up here to the press box. 3-2. Sabres victorious here. We'll read some tweets and get connected with our fans, but first let's send things over to Pat Malacaro here as he takes us around the NHL.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by Figo, Carr, and Joyce, who are border attorneys. A couple of games impacting the standings in a moment, but first, games ongoing include the Blues leading the Oilers 2-1, 6:50 to go in regulation. Connor McDavid, his 22nd so far in a losing effort. While midway through the third period in Winnipeg, the Jets with a 2-0 lead over the Hurricanes as well. And now midway through the second period in Calgary, William Nylander scoring his 31st goal of the season. John Tavares just netting his 21st. Toronto taking a 2-1 lead over Calgary. Midway through the second in Utah, the hockey club trails the Flyers 2-1 as well. No scoring yet. About 6 minutes in between the Canucks and the Avalanche, while Lucas Raymond's 21st of the season gives the Red Wings a 1-0 lead over Seattle. They're trying to keep pace with Boston and Tampa. More on that in just a moment. 10:30 faceoff tonight between the Ducks and the Stars in Anaheim. Same for the Sharks and Canadiens meeting in San Jose. Mention the Bruins and the Lightning, both victorious tonight, each with 60 points on the season. Boston a 3-0 shutout of Minnesota, while the Lightning 4-3 winners over Ottawa as well. In a shootout, the Devils pick up a 3-2 victory over Pittsburgh, while in D.C., with a tenth of a second left, Alexander Ovechkin nets his 878th career NHL goal, putting him within 16 of Wayne Gretzky's record all-time, 17 from breaking the great one's all-time goal record. And now, one other game to tell you about, the Islanders 2-1 winners over the Golden Knights as well. In local college basketball, right now out in Chicago, St. Bonaventure trailing Loyola Chicago 47-30, about 5 minutes into the second half there. And earlier on tonight, Toledo tripping up UB 87-74, Brian.
So Ovechkin getting closer, Pat. It's probably too much of a stretch, but the Sabres do play Washington late in the season on March 30th. Buffalo has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 games in that span. So let's just assume Ovechkin has about 20 games. Probably to ask him to score 17 and or 16 or I'm sorry.
16 to tie, 17 to break
right,
the record.
Right, 14 or 15 and 20 goals is probably too much. I was thinking, could it end up where maybe that's the night where the Sabres, where they play the Caps on March 30th? But it still could happen this season, though, even if it doesn't line up with that Buffalo game. Because, you know, if you look at what Washington has left here, they have 53 games played. So, I mean, you've got 29 games left. I mean, I don't know if it'll happen this year, but if he stays on his pace, it's going
to
be close.
Well, and remember when the Capitals made their only trip to Buffalo just a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about it kind of lined up the pace that Ovechkin was on, and he kind of fallen back a little bit. But, I think I was one of those in the camp that said, I don't think it's going to happen. Now, to me, it's a question of when, not if.
Yeah.
Even if Ovechkin does not get there this year, which I think scoring 17 goals over the final 29 games left, fairly reasonable ask for somebody like Ovechkin. But let's say he ends up one or two goals short. Maybe he's out again or extended goalless drought. I would have to think he's coming back for at least one more year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, even if, let's say he just gets 7 or 8 more of the rest. He only needs 10 left. Like, it's going to happen either at the end of this year or early next year, assuming there is no injury.
Yeah, and, you know, to be honest, like, he's not young anymore, but he's good. Still at his age, Alex Ovechkin at late 30s, early 40s is still better than a lot of players in the league, so I think you can count on him breaking the record.
Washington's season is as good of a surprise in a positive way as anybody. They're 35-11-7, first place in the East. The next best team in the East is 9 points back. That's Carolina. That's the second best team in the East. They are dominating the Eastern Conference right now. They're a plus 56 goal differential, number one in the East. At home, they're lethal, 17-4-5.
Last year, I'll say, was kind of a fluke. They were the team that kind of backdoored into the playoffs last year. Remember,
with a huge minus goal differential, and we're thinking this is a fluke.
Remember, it was a three-team basically race to the end in the end of regular season last year with Philadelphia as one of those teams.
Yeah, I think the Islanders maybe. Right. Yeah, those three for that third-place spot and a wild card spot.
And the Capitals got it. And what do they do in the offseason? They made a couple of moves. Andrew Mangiapane from Calgary made a trade for him. Also brought in Logan Thompson, who had some success out west with Vegas. But really, you know, hadn't stepped into that number one lockdown goaltender role. He's parlayed this year into a long-term contract with the Capitals, and this is a Washington team. Like, Alexander Ovechkin was not scoring as much as you had come accustomed to the last couple of years.
Yeah.
That team had taken a step back. Well, they took a step forward last year and have taken another step this year, and I don't know that I did not expect them to be this good, but I think they're showing that last year. Yeah, might not have been as much of a fluke as we kind of thought, because Spencer Carberry also, he was a first-year head coach last year, learning from some of what they went through last year, and now certainly have outpaced expectations.
Number one team in the NHL. If the season ended today, they would win the President's Trophy. Pretty impressive season for sure for Ovechkin and the Capitals, who lead Carolina by 9 for first in the Metro. All right, Buffalo wins 3-2, 4 straight wins. What does that mean in the standings, Pat? Well, they're still in last. The lead now went from 12 to 11. So they gained a point on both wild cards. Both are in play, Tampa and Boston. They're wild card 1, wild card 2. So if you want to look at some positive, they're 11 back of wild card 1 and 2.
Detroit's in action right now. If they pick up 2 points tonight, they would move to wild card 1.
Detroit has won 6 in a row. So we talk about each of these teams have had a major win streak. Ottawa had one. Detroit's in the midst of one. The Islanders
just
came off of one, right there.
7-game win streak.
They had 7. The Rangers have had one. Montreal has had one. The next teams they can pass, Philadelphia, they've got a game in hand of the Flyers, 2 games in hand on Pittsburgh. They're 3 back of the Flyers and 4 back of the Penguins and 4 back of the Canadiens as well. So that's your next group that you've got to leapfrog ahead of, and then maybe we can start to have the discussion of, okay, you know, is there a chance kind of thing.
If you're the Red Wings, if you're Steve Yzerman, I know things don't play out this way if you do it earlier, but are you lamenting the fact that you didn't go to Todd McClellan earlier? Because that's the move that shook things up in Detroit, removing Derek Lalonde and installing Todd McClellan as your head coach. They've gone on this extended streak. It's been a month. They're on basically their second long winning streak, I believe, since making the coaching change. If you make it sooner, and if this is a long ways to go, about 30 games left in the season in over 2 months. But if you miss out on the playoffs by a couple of points, are you sitting there saying, I waited to pull the trigger a little bit too long?
Yeah. Detroit, as you mentioned, a 1-0 lead in Seattle in the first period, if anybody's looking to watch that. You also, if you're a Sabre fan and you're really looking at the standings here, Philadelphia, you're hoping to lose this tonight in Utah. Flyers are up 2-1 in the second, as Pat mentioned. All right, let's read some tweets here as we get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. You can always send me your thoughts after each and every game at BrianWGR. We'll address the fight one more time here. John says, everyone wants to get wrapped around the axle on this stage fight. He said he didn't pull the guy into the fight. They both agreed to go. Let's get this off their back now, and maybe they keep winning. Okay, there's one thought on that.
And I think the biggest thing from that is the response from the team after it. It's one thing, and I do, you know, you look at the line that's put out, and the Blue Jackets will set out their line first, and then Lindy Ruff can counter. And he counters with who is the guy he knows, if something's going to happen, will respond, and he put him on the ice. Whether or not Dennis Gilbert decided to go, Olivier decided before the puck dropped, like as soon as they got on the ice, whatever. You saw what happened after the fact for this team. It's the block shots tonight. It's the following up on and not letting Columbus push you around. So, you know, you can debate and say it happened too late. The response should have happened on Sunday. But Dennis Gilbert was out there when the game started. He goes toe-to-toe with Olivier, and the Sabres respond with a strong effort here tonight.
Lindy at the end said something. He's like, I had a master plan. My thought is, you know, obviously I'm sure he would have loved it to have been addressed right away. Okay, after the fact that the play ended and the Sabres got a 5-minute power play, my thought is probably he's thinking, okay, let's get through this power play. We could still be up at the very least 2. Maybe we score, make it 3. Power play's over. There's only a few minutes left in the game. I'll send out Gilbert. We'll do something here and it'll be
just never happened.
It'll be over. But Hughes scores. The Sabres look like a train wreck on that power play, and all of a sudden now they're scrambling to make sure they win. And Lindy's thinking, I can't afford to do that at this point. So maybe that's I have no idea to know if that's Lindy's plan.
Right.
But he said there at the end, he's like, I had a master plan about it. So I'm just guessing maybe that's what it was.
And this could have
because they asked him about, hey, do you regret? I think Mike Harrington said, do you regret not putting Gilbert out at some point during the game?
Let's be honest too. This could have gone the other way on the team. This could have started a spiral. It didn't.
Yeah.
They had a meeting yesterday, and whatever went on behind closed doors tonight, they responded 3 seconds into the game, and then the rest of the night. Now there's a lot of games left, and you've got to keep this up over the final 2+ months of the year. But I do think they do deserve a little bit of credit for. It should have a response should have happened on Sunday. Yes, both things can be true, and the response tonight, not letting it snowball on them, I think is something that you have to at least acknowledge.
I think Paul is totally right. In the moment, you had to have known what to do.
Right,
they messed that up totally. Should they have had a meeting yesterday about it? I don't think so. I think Paul's right there too. However, your point is valid as well. Okay, ultimately the next test was tonight. And you still want to win games, and you still want to put out your best performance, and I think they took care of that tonight. So you're right. In between, there was a lot of other ways to maybe handle it. Whether we agree with how they handled it or not, I guess we could debate that all day. But the next thing was, well, what happens in the next game? Do they win? Do they show up? Do they respond? Do they look like a team? Do they look like they play hard? The answer is yes, they did. They look like they played hard. They looked like they handled the final moment pressure thing okay. They look like they stuck together on a night where their number one goalie was out and their number one offensive player was out. So I think that is worth saying that they get some credit for that.
Yeah, now it's a 4-game winning streak, and like you and Paul talked about, you have an opportunity, even though you're going to have a 2-week break coming up, you can make it 5 in a row. And can you get the deficit for Wild Card 2 down to single digits? Now, I haven't looked at the schedule, but there's going to be some games, the teams ahead of you to be played as well, but at least you have something you can go into these next 2 weeks feeling good about, at least where the game is at, as opposed to where things had been through January leading into this month.
That's right. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks, Brian.
Good job tonight. The Sabres win it 3-2. So three days off from game action here. And then Saturday night in Nashville, 8 o'clock is the next Buffalo game. I'll have the pregame show at 7 that night. And then it's 2 weeks off. The Four Nations Tournament. Three Sabres will participate. Joki Haru is playing for Finland. Lukanen is playing for Finland. And Dahlin is playing for Sweden. So those are the... Pat, you and I talked so much about Thompson maybe not being on USA's team the other day. It would be very, very curious to see if Thompson was selected on USA, how this maybe possible head injury... I know the team isn't saying it's a head injury, but I'll say it. Would he have gone to play if this plays out exactly the same and he's on the roster for the Four Nations team? Like whether or not he would have gone or not.
I would have a feeling that he'd be replaced pretty quickly. And you know, would his teammate, someone like Alex Tuch, who we see what he can do on special teams, he adds more than just now. He has 18 goals on the year, so that's impressive enough. But how he can kill penalties too, I would think that you'd want those. Basically 3 weeks, and somebody else takes his place.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, Nashville next Saturday. Until then, we put a wrap on our post-game show here from KeyBank Center as we thank our crew, T.J. Luckman, our network producer, back in our Amherst studios. Thank you, T.J. Tom Matty is our engineer here at KeyBank Center. The crew, Jonathan Colziel, Pat Malacaro, Paul Hamilton. Thank you, gentlemen. Pre-game show was Shope and the Bulldog, and, of course, our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colziel. Thank you for listening. The final again, Sabres 3, Blue Jackets 2. We'll talk to you Saturday night, Sabres in Nashville, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.